Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ready to explore something pretty mind-blowing?
Always.
This time we're diving into astrotheology. It's all about how ancient cultures viewed the cosmos and how those observations shaped their beliefs and stories.
Definitely a fascinating subject. Lots to unpack there.
We're basing this deep dive on a YouTube video by Jordan Maxwell discussing his article, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And it's going to make you think about history and religion in a whole new light. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah. Looking at things through that astrotheological lens can be a real eye-opener. You start to see all these connections you never noticed before.
For sure. So let's start with the basics. How did ancient people with their limited scientific knowledge interpret the cosmos?
Well, Maxwell paints this really vivid picture of a world consumed by darkness. Like when the sun set, it wasn't just nightfall, you know, it was a very real sense of fear.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. You're totally vulnerable in the dark.
Totally. Predators and plummeting temperatures and who knows what else lurking in the shadows. It makes sense that the rising sun, you know, that beacon of warmth and safety, became a powerful symbol of hope, even salvation.
So the sun wasn't just a pretty sight, it was a lifesaver. But was it actually worshipped as a god?
No, not really. Maxwell suggests that instead of being a god itself, the sun was more of a representation of God's attributes. You know, like a way for them to understand this life-giving, powerful force they associated with the divine.
So the sun was like a symbol, a bridge to understanding something greater. And this idea of a savior sun conquering the darkness, wouldn't that influence later ideas of divine savior figures?
Absolutely. It's fascinating to think about how those early interpretations of the sun might have paved the way for figures like Jesus, who's often called God's son and the light of the world.
That's a really powerful connection. And the sun's energy literally sustains all life on Earth. It's constantly giving of itself, which is a powerful parallel to the concept of sacrifice, especially in Christianity. What about the idea of everlasting life? Did they think we'd all live forever because the sun kept rising?
Maxwell's interpretation is interesting. He suggests that everlasting life wasn't necessarily about individual immortality, but more about the continuation of life on Earth, driven by that endless cycle of the sun's death and rebirth.
So it's about renewal, a kind of cyclical time, very different from our modern linear view of time. This is blowing my mind wide open. Every story needs its antagonist, right? Who was the bad guy in this cosmic drama?
In many ancient belief systems, it was the Prince of Darkness, a figure representing chaos and the antithesis to the sun's light. Think of the Egyptian god Set, the embodiment of darkness in contrast to Horus, the sun god.
It's that age-old battle of good versus evil, but played out on a cosmic scale. It makes you think about how we still associate light with knowledge and truth and darkness with the unknown, even danger.
Absolutely. These ancient ways of thinking have woven themselves into our language, our art, even our fears. It's remarkable how enduring these concepts are.
Maxwell also mentions Horus taking 12 steps across the sky, mirroring the 12 hours of daylight. He even draws a connection to the word hours, which is wild. But why does that number 12 show up everywhere even today?
It's as if that number representing the sun's journey has become ingrained in our cultural DNA. Think about 12-step programs, 12 jurors, even the 12 grades in school. It's fascinating how these ancient concepts continue to echo through time.
I never realized how much symbolism and meaning we've inherited from those who look to the skies for answers. How about the idea of a triune god? Three aspects in one deity. That's pretty common across many religions, right?
Yes. And Maxwell suggests the sun's journey, newborn at dawn, mature at noon, setting at dusk, provided the template for this triune concept. It's another way of looking at the divine, inspired by observing the natural world.
So the Christian Trinity, for example, could be linked back to the sun's three stages. That's a pretty profound connection.
It does raise a lot of intriguing questions about the origins of these beliefs and how observations of the natural world might have shaped our spiritual understanding.
Before my head explodes, let's talk about the Gospels. Maxwell mentions a link to the four seasons. How does that fit in?
Early church fathers saw the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as reflecting the sun's yearly cycle, with each Gospel representing a different season. Even in art, you see this connection. Da Vinci's The Last Supper depicts the 12 apostles like months and groups of four like seasons.
It's incredible how those visual symbols weave those concepts together. And then there's that connection between the Egyptian sun god Amun-Ra and the Christian practice of saying Amen. How did Maxwell explain that one?
Amun-Ra was considered the king of the gods in ancient Egypt, strongly associated with the sun's life-giving force. Maxwell points out the linguistic link between Amun-Ra and Amen, suggesting a possible bridge between ancient Egyptian beliefs and modern Christian practices.
It's a bit mind-blowing to think that saying Amen could be tied to invoking the power of the sun god, even if unconsciously. But there's a lot to unpack here, and I don't want to jump to conclusions.
Exactly. It's crucial to remember that these are interpretations. And it's important to do your own research, explore different perspectives, and arrive at your own conclusions.
So we've talked about the sun as a savior, the prince of darkness, Horus, and the number 12, the triune god concept. The gospels and the seasons, even the word amen. What else did Maxwell cover in his article?
Well, he goes on to discuss the concept of the consuming fire, which is used to describe God in both the Old and New Testaments. Maxwell points out that this imagery aligns with the sun, you know, this giant ball of fire in the sky.
That makes sense. But what about the idea of heaven itself? Did ancient people believe they'd literally go up to the sun when they died?
Maxwell suggests that the ancient concept of heaven was more symbolic. The sky where the sun resided was seen as God's domain, a realm beyond human reach.
So it wasn't about physically going to heaven, but reaching a higher state of being, connecting with the divine.
Exactly. And remember, the sun wasn't just warmth and light. It was a source of knowledge of truth. Understanding its movements and cycles was vital for survival, for agriculture and navigation, for understanding life's rhythm.
Which ties back to the association of knowledge and enlightenment with light. The sun illuminates not just our world, but our minds.
That's a great point. And it underscores why truth and righteousness are often depicted as being brought to light. This metaphor is deeply rooted in our language and thought processes.
So taking that further, if opposing truth is like extinguishing light, does that mean those clinging to darkness are essentially killing knowledge and enlightenment?
That's a powerful way to frame it. Maxwell does suggest that rejecting truth is like living in darkness, literally and figuratively. He even links this concept to Golgotha, the place of the skull where Jesus was crucified.
Hold on, how does Golgotha fit into all of this?
Maxwell proposes that Golgotha, often interpreted as a physical location, could also be a metaphorical place, the human mind.
So by rejecting truth or refusing to face reality, we're essentially crucifying knowledge and enlightenment within our own mind. That's a pretty heavy concept.
It is, and it speaks to the power of belief and how our biases and fears can sometimes blind us to the truth, even when it's staring us right in the face.
This is making me realize that astrotheology isn't just about ancient myths and legends. It's about understanding the human condition, our relationship with the cosmos, and this eternal struggle between light and darkness.
That's a brilliant insight. And it's worth repeating that this is just one interpretation of astrotheology. There are countless others out there waiting to be explored.
It makes you wonder if so many of our modern beliefs and symbols can be traced back to ancient observations of the sun. What about other celestial bodies? The moon, the stars, the planets, they all played important roles in ancient cosmologies.
Absolutely. And that's another deep dive waiting to happen. But for now, I think we've covered a lot of ground and given you plenty to ponder.
Definitely feeling intellectually stimulated and, to be honest, a little overwhelmed in a good way, of course.
That's a good sign. It means you're engaging with these ideas, challenging your assumptions, and expanding your horizons. And that's what the deep dive is all about.
So where do we even begin to unpack all of this? I mean, we've covered so much ground, from the sun's role as a savior to the symbolism of the number 12 and the connection between Amun-Ra and Amen. It's like a whole new way of looking at history and religion.
What's crucial here is that you don't just accept these ideas at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Maxwell is presenting one interpretation, and it's important to do your own research, explore other perspectives, and come to your own conclusions.
Absolutely. Critical thinking is key. But Maxwell did make a point that really stuck with me. The idea that the sun isn't just an object in the sky, it's a force that shapes life on Earth in profound ways. And maybe, just maybe, it's shaped our beliefs and stories in ways we're only beginning to understand.
That's the beauty of astrotheology. It invites us to consider the interconnectedness of everything, the cosmos, our planet, ourselves.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we're part of something so much larger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a cosmic dance that's been playing out for millennia.
And that dance with its cycles of light and darkness, life and death, creation and destruction has been inspiring awe and wonder in humans since like the dawn of time. It's like we're hardwired to seek meaning in the heavens, you know, to find patterns and connections that help us make sense of our own existence.
Precisely. And whether we consciously recognize it or not, these ancient ways of thinking continue to influence us today. They're embedded in our language, our art,
yeah,
our music, even our subconscious fears and aspirations.
It's like we're still carrying those ancient stories and interpretations within us, even if we don't realize it. So where do we go from here? How do we start unpacking all of this and applying it to our own lives?
I think the key is to approach these ideas with a healthy dose of skepticism and curiosity. Maxwell offers one lens through which to view history and religion, but there are countless others. It's about exploring those different perspectives and coming to your own understanding.
That makes sense. It's like we're being given this new set of tools to examine our world and our beliefs. So what other celestial bodies might have shaped our understanding of the world? We focused a lot on the sun, but the moon, the stars, the planets, they all held significance in ancient cosmologies.
Absolutely. Think about the moon, for instance. It governs the tides, influences animal behavior, and its cycles are inextricably linked to the feminine principle in many cultures. It's no coincidence that many ancient goddesses are associated with the moon.
That's fascinating. It makes you think about how those celestial observations might have shaped our understanding of gender roles and the balance between masculine and feminine energies.
Exactly. And then there are the stars. Ancient cultures used them for navigation, for telling time, for understanding the cycles of seasons. They saw constellations as representations of gods, heroes, and mythical creatures, weaving stories and meaning into the very fabric of the night sky.
So by observing the stars, they created these elaborate mythologies that helped them make sense of their place in the universe.
Precisely. These stories weren't just entertainment. They were tools for transmitting knowledge, values, and cultural beliefs across generations. And they continue to inspire us today, even if we've lost touch with their original meanings.
Okay, let's talk planets for a second. Each planet in our solar system has its own unique characteristics and movements, which I imagine would have influenced ancient interpretations.
You're absolutely right. Think about Mars, for instance, with its reddish hue. It's no surprise that many cultures associated it with war and aggression. Or Venus, named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty, shining brightly in the evening sky. These celestial bodies weren't just points of light. They were characters in a grand cosmic drama, each with its own story to tell.
It's like they took these observations and created these intricate systems of meaning that connected them to the divine, to human emotions, to the very forces that shape our lives.
And those systems of meaning, even if we don't consciously recognize them, continue to shape our understanding of the world today. They're embedded in our language, our art, our music, our subconscious desires and fears.
This makes me think about astrology. While it's often dismissed as superstition, isn't it rooted in those ancient observations and interpretations of the planets and their influence on human affairs?
Absolutely. Astrology, in its essence, is an attempt to understand the interconnectedness of the cosmos and ourselves. Mm-hmm. While the scientific validity of some of its claims might be debated, its historical and cultural significance is undeniable.
So even if we don't subscribe to every tenet of astrology, there's still something to be learned from those ancient attempts to find meaning and patterns in the movements of the celestial bodies.
Exactly. It's a reminder that humans have always sought to understand their place in the universe and their relationship to the forces that shape their lives. Astrotheology, in its various forms, provides a fascinating window into those age-old questions and offers a framework for exploring the mysteries of the cosmos and the human experience.
I'm beginning to see that this isn't just about ancient history. It's about understanding ourselves, our place in the world, and our connection to something much greater than ourselves.
And that's the beauty of a deep dive like this. It's a starting point for a lifelong journey of exploration and discovery.
This whole conversation has been mind-expanding, but I have to admit it's also a bit overwhelming. Where do we even begin to apply these insights to our modern lives?
I think the first step is to simply be more aware. Pay attention to the language we use, the symbols that surround us, the stories we tell ourselves about the world. Ask yourself, what are the underlying beliefs and assumptions that shape my perceptions? Where did those beliefs originate, and do they still hold true for me today?
So it's about cultivating a sense of critical awareness and questioning the things we often take for granted.
Exactly. And remember, you don't have to accept every interpretation you encounter. Engage with these ideas, explore different perspectives, and ultimately come to your own understanding. That's the essence of a true deep dive.
This makes me think about something Maxwell said about Golgotha, that metaphorical place of the skull representing the human mind. He suggested that when we reject truth or refuse to face reality, we're essentially crucifying knowledge and enlightenment within our own minds.
It's a powerful image, isn't it? It reminds us that our beliefs and perceptions have real consequences. If we cling to darkness, if we refuse to let the light in, we limit our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
So it's not just about understanding ancient history and symbolism. It's about personal growth and the choices we make in our own lives.
Precisely. Astrotheology at its core is about recognizing the interconnectedness of everything, the interplay of light and darkness, and the power of belief to shape our reality.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. I feel like I have a whole new set of tools and perspectives to navigate the world with.
That's what we hope for. The Deep Dive is all about encouraging you to become active participants in your own intellectual journey, to ask questions, challenge assumptions, and ultimately expand your understanding of yourself and the world around you.
So what's the final takeaway for our listeners today? What do we want them to walk away with after this exploration of astrotheology?
I'd encourage everyone to look at the world around them with fresh eyes, to question assumptions, and to explore the hidden connections between the cosmos and human culture. Don't be afraid to go down those rabbit holes.
And remember, this is just the beginning. There's a whole universe of knowledge and wonder out there waiting to be explored.
So keep looking up, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
It really does feel like we've only just scratched the surface here. I'm already thinking about all the other celestial bodies and how they might have shaped ancient beliefs.
Yeah, it's like opening a door to a whole new way of seeing the world.
Yeah.
And once you start to notice these connections, you start seeing them everywhere. It's like a hidden language embedded in our culture.
Exactly. And it makes you realize how much we've inherited from those who came before us, those who looked to the stars for guidance and meaning.
And it's not just about the past, is it? It's about understanding how those ancient ways of thinking continue to influence us today, even if we're not consciously aware of it.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? What do we want them to walk away with after this deep dive into astrotheology?
I think the most important thing is to cultivate a sense of curiosity and open-mindedness. Don't be afraid to question assumptions, to explore different perspectives, and to look for those hidden connections between the cosmos and the human experience.
Absolutely. It's like we're being given this new set of lenses to view the world with, and those lenses can help us see things in a whole new light, to appreciate the beauty and complexity of our universe and our place within it.
And remember, this is just one interpretation. Maxwell's work offers a fascinating starting point, but there's a whole universe of knowledge and perspectives out there waiting to be explored.
So if our listeners are interested in learning more, where should they start?
Well, I'd encourage everyone to delve deeper into Jordan Maxwell's work. Of course, he's written extensively on this topic, but don't stop there. Research other ancient cultures, explore their mythologies and astronomical beliefs, and see what resonates with you.
It's like we're embarking on a grand treasure hunt, searching for those hidden gems of wisdom and insight that have been passed down through the ages.
And who knows, you might even discover your own astrotheological insights along the way.
That's what makes this so exciting. It's not just about passively absorbing information. It's about actively engaging with these ideas, questioning, exploring, and ultimately coming to your own understanding.
And that's what the Deep Dive is all about. We want to spark your curiosity, ignite your passion for learning, and encourage you to become active participants in your own intellectual journey.
So to our listeners, we say, keep looking up, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
There's a whole universe of wonder out there waiting to be discovered.
And that concludes our deep dive into the fascinating world of astrotheology. We hope you've enjoyed the journey. Until next time, keep exploring.